morning to evening talking about the kingdom. Now, the kingdom's a broad subject. The Scriptures has a lot to say about the kingdom. So I'm going to give you seven. I wrote down seven truths about the kingdom. Are you ready? Seven. I could have put down 14. Just seven. I'm talking about, he spent maybe 12 hours teaching here. How could he do all that on the kingdom? But you get to looking at the kingdom, man, it's a broad subject. Are you ready? I was going to go back to the Old Testament and bring out the Old Testament prophecies about the kingdom, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick with the ones in the New Testament. Just some of them. Are you ready? Seven truths about the kingdom. Number one, in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I think that's the right text. Let me look there real fast. If not, I don't intend you to turn you all these, because I can't give you seven and turn to everything. Yeah. Matthew 6, 33. First truth about the kingdom I want to give you tonight is you need to seek it first. Matthew 6, 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." First means it's first in priority. First in priority. There's nothing any more important in this world than being a part of His kingdom. Can I get a witness? Nothing takes priority over being a citizen in His kingdom. So He said, you seek that first. There's nothing any more important. Like we said, we're not here real long, no matter how you slice it. It'd be 70, 80, 90. That's still not real long. Every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you agree? And you want to spend an eternity in His kingdom. You want to go to be with Him at the end of your days. Or if He comes, you want to go to be with Him through the rapture. You need to seek it first. Now, what do you have to be a part of His kingdom? Now, that's what it says. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one either. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But to have God's kingdom, what do you have to have? According to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. You won't have His kingdom unless you have His righteousness. That's the reason why when you go to the book of Revelations, everybody in heaven has on a white robe, because they're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the key to His kingdom, of course, is trusting Jesus. And then He gives you His righteousness. You become a citizen. So without His righteousness, you're not going to be a part of the kingdom. You got to trust Jesus. And then to have His kingdom, you got to have what else? His righteousness. And He imputes that to your account by faith in Him. Seek it what? First. Not last. First. Why does He tell you to seek it first? You might die if you put it off. That's what a lot of people do. I don't know how many people have told me. I know it's true. And I believe it's true. And I'm going to one of these days, but I'm going to put it off. And they died that way. And all I could say, if I'd done their service, that's happened before. All I could say was that they knew. You know how hard that is? All I can say is they knew. Whether they trusted, I have no idea. They never said. That's a hard place to go with. So He said, do it first. First. More important than your job, more important than sports, more important than anything is the kingdom. Seek it first. Number two, what's the key to the kingdom? I just mentioned it to you. The key to the kingdom is the gospel. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to give you some of these, maybe not all of them, but Matthew chapter 24. It refers to the gospel here in Matthew 24 and verse 14. It calls it the gospel of the kingdom. So if you're going to be a part of the kingdom, if you're going to seek it first, His kingdom and His righteousness, then you have to hear and trust the gospel of the kingdom. It says in verse 14 of Acts chapter 24, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What is it called, the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. So if you're a part of the kingdom, that means you have to trust the gospel. And if you are a part of the kingdom, then you know what the gospel is. So, seven truths about the kingdom. You seek it first. The key to the kingdom is the gospel. Truth number three. Many religious people will miss it. Many, no, I'm not saying a few, many religious people will miss it. Okay? Matthew chapter 7 gives you the proof for that. There'll be a lot of religious people that miss it. Do you know why? They trusted a false gospel. They trusted a false way. See, there ain't 10 different gospels. There's only one. It's defined in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 for you. You don't make no additions to it or mess with it whatsoever. One true gospel. One true gospel, just one. See, you pervert it, that's not a salvation message. If someone trusts a false message, then all the sincerity in the world is not going to change where they're going. You've got to trust the right message. So there's going to be a lot of religious people who miss it, Big Al. A lot, not a little, a lot. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. The Father's will is you trust in the Son. The Father's will is that you trust in the Son. Many, that's why I said there's a lot of religious people who ain't going to make it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, if we've not prophesied in your name. They claim to be prophets, and they prophesied in Jesus' name. And in your name we casted out demons. In your name we've done many wonderful works. What are they trusting in? Did you hear the gospel in that verse? Did you hear the message of Christ? Did you hear about Jesus or anything of that nature? No, they're not trusting in Him. They're trusting in themselves. That they were righteous. And Jesus said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. That would be the most horrible statement to hear. I didn't know you. Depart from me. And what's he called them? Workers of iniquity. You see, but they did a lot of good things. But they did a lot of good things for the wrong reason. See, it's more than doing the right things. You've got to do the right things for the right reason. If you're doing the works, your works to get yourself saved, then those are bad works in the eyes of the Lord. Good works is done after that you are saved. You do them because you love Him. You're not doing them to get saved. God's people work. Paul worked. The apostles worked. But they didn't do it to get saved. Well, Jesus did save them. So there are going to be a lot of religious people who miss the kingdom because they've not trusted the gospel of the kingdom. And I'll just tell you, I'll tell someone if they've trusted a false way. I'll do it. I think I have responsibility to. I'll do it in a good way. Because I've seen Baptists do it in a bad way before, too. You do it because you care about them, and you do it in a good way. So, man, that's a false gospel right there. You can't trust this or yourself or your works or your deeds or an ordinance or to save you. You just got to trust Jesus that He died and rose again for you. You got to do that. You got to tell someone. You can't go, well, now you're trying your way and they're trying their way and we're all getting there. You were all one big band, and we're all trying a road, and all these 20 different roads is going to get us there and in. One road. One road. One way. And that's Jesus. Only the devil wants you to think there's 100 different roads. And you'll answer one day for not giving somebody a warning. You have a responsibility to give a warning because you care. Number four. To enter the kingdom, you must be born again. This is number four. If you're going to enter, you got to be born again. That's what he told. Nicodemus, and was Nicodemus really? Think who he's talking to when he said he wasn't talking to the town drunk in John chapter 3. He was talking to a Pharisee. The most religious people of Jesus' day was a Pharisee. And the first thing Jesus told him says, unless you are born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus told him. Notice here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Notice what it says. Verse 5. Jesus answered and said, verily, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh, that's the idea of born of water, I think, is being born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Look back up in verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Got to be born again. Got to have a new birth. Got to be born again. You must. We sing a song up in the mountains. You must be born again. You're born, I always get this backwards. You're born once, you'll die twice. You're born twice, you'll die once. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be physically born, that's born of water, and then you have to have a new birth, born of the Spirit. What happened the day you get saved? I can't bring about the new birth. I'd like to shake some people saved, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be saved so bad? But you can't do it. They have to have a new. They have to be born again. And only the Holy Spirit can bring that about. You pray and you witness, and you. But only the Spirit can make an old dead sinner alive again. And that's what He does. He gives them a new birth. So to enter, you got to be born again. Number five, in the kingdom, the fifth truth, and this is a blessing for us, is Gentiles are included. That's the part that the Jews didn't like. Not only just included, but they're not second-class citizens like they was under the Old Covenant. There wasn't a big middle wall here that they could only come in like it was in the temple so far. The Gentiles was received on equal standing as a saved Jew was. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we can be part of the same churches. It wasn't a Jewish church and a Gentile church. That wasn't what it was. But the Gentiles could be a part of it. Turn to Luke 13. Luke 13. Seven truths about the kingdom. I'll get them all to you again here in just a little bit. Luke chapter 13. Notice what it says in verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom. And ye yourselves will be thrusted out. Now Jesus spoke this to Jews. I'm going to read that one more time. See the force of this language? Because that was their boast, was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom, and ye yourselves will be thrusted out. And they shall come from the east. Now this is talking about the Gentiles. The east and the west and from the north and from the south. That's all ends of the globe, isn't it? East, west, north, and south. That's Gentiles. And they're going to, that's what it says. Men will come from the east, the west, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. One of these days we'll be in the kingdom and Abraham's going to be there, and King David, and all those men that we read about in the Old Testament will be part of the same. We're part of the same kingdom as they're in. Have the same king, same blessings. Isn't it wonderful? Man, we got a glorious future waiting on us. So, Gentiles are citizens too. Number six. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How do you become righteous in the eyes of God? Somebody tell me. Trust Jesus. And when you trust Jesus, does it change your life? Yeah, old things pass away. There will be a change when someone's truly had a new birth. You can expect to see a change in somebody. I look for change. Do you look for change? I get excited when someone makes a profession. I get more excited when I see them a year from now still serving the Lord. And I like to hear and see the change in them. I like to hear about a change in. So the Lord changes people. That's the fruit or the results of a new birth. What does it say in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? And it gives you a big long list of sins. Fornicators, that's the Greek word pornea, and it just covers all type of sexual immorality. Idolatry, adulterers, effeminate and abusers of themselves are two words that describes a homosexual lifestyle. Thieves, covetous. Boy, you don't hear a lot of preaching on covetous, do you? Covetous. Greedy of gain. Drunkards. Revelers. That's someone that abuses people with their, with talking about folk, abuses with their tongue. Extortioners shall inherit the kingdom. None of these will inherit the kingdom. That's what it says. See, when the Lord saves you, He saves you out of those things. Not saying a person can't sin ever save. You know they do. David did. Moses did. Noah did. They sin. But once you're born again, you have a changed life and you have a new standing with the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 11. Notice what it says. Such were some of you. Some of you used to live this way. But ye are washed, sanctified, and justified. So the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Does He save idolaters? Does He save fornicators? Does He save the covet? Absolutely does. He saves them, cleans them, washes them clean, but He also changes their life. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, but they're going to be what? They're going to be changed. Number seven, here's the last truth about the kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It never ends. Luke chapter 1, and let's look at that real fast. Luke chapter 1. And the verse 32. It's an everlasting kingdom. Now see, I just meant, that's a sermon. Every one of those things I give you was a sermon. And that's just touching a little bit, talking about the kingdom. That's why he could preach on it for 12 hours or so. Luke chapter 1. I love this text. Verse 31 says, the angel talking to Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Who's going to reign over the house of Jacob? David. Are we a part of that? Sure. According to Romans 11, we're a part of that. And of this kingdom, there shall be no end. We're going to be forever in the kingdom. We're just temporary here for a while, just for a little bit. In comparison for eternity, it's just for a little bit. But we're going to be forever in the kingdom with our King, Lord Jesus. And we'll be different then. We'll be perfect. We won't sin. We'll never be sad. Can you imagine in a place you'll never be sad? There won't be no pain there. There won't be no dying there. There won't be no suffering there. You go back and look at the old prophets. They've seen all of these things. The book of Isaiah says the inhabitant of that land will never say that he is sick. I mean, this is all belongs to God's people. That's our kingdom. That's our King. That's what he preached to these Jews about. And that's what I'm preaching to you out today, all the way down here to Bancroft. Just a small portion of it. Let's go back to our text now. So he preached the kingdom. Y'all know what the kingdom is. You seek it first. The key to the kingdom is the gospel. Many religious won't make it because they don't trust the gospel. Or they trust a false one. To enter, you must be born again. The Gentiles is included in the kingdom. The unrighteous won't inherit. They need to be born again. And it's how long does it last? It lasts forever. Those are 7 points of that. Okay? Now back to Acts chapter 28.